section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
A wrestler signs a three-month extension, Sting takes on Bully, and another wrestler gets concussed. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Dave Bautista is not coming back to wrestling. What's going on with this, Aaron?
You mean Deacon, right?
Deacon? Is that what Deacon? Yeah, the Deacon? Yeah. Dave the Deacon?
Yeah, yeah. So Bautista has been asked multiple times, are you coming back? When are you coming back? That type of thing. And he's not, you know, he's done, and he has a supposedly a successful movie career. So, you know, I don't see him coming back anytime soon, but I think when he actually does, I think that it's going to be, I don't want to say rock-like, but I think it will still be a huge pop, even though I don't perceive Bautista as being on the same level as a Hogan or a Rock. It still will be huge in the world of wrestling.
I actually don't think it'll be that big of a pop. I think it'll just be like, oh, there he is.
Well, he'd be a movie star, so he'd be recognized by a lot more people.
Yeah, but he thinks he's a movie star, but when you're like the, you know, 14th lead in the movie, you're not really a movie star. You're just kind of there.
You say 14th lead. I say second from the bottom. So Andy Christian is concussed. What do you think?
Yeah, he had a match against Del Rio, and I guess he went back and was like feeling woozy and was acting kind of weird. So he was checked him over, and they believe that he has a concussion. So he's going to be not wrestling for a little bit until that gets cleared up, which is it's really weird because they used to let the wrestlers wrestle. And now it's like, hold on a second. You need to like get checked out, which is something that it's very weird in the world of professional wrestling. But I'm glad that they've been able to do this, and you know, I wish him the best. Hopefully he comes back, because he just came back like a few months ago.
So. I know, which is kind of sad. Yeah. Now, Andy, there is some good news over on TNA, which is that AJ Styles has signed a three-month extension. So is this a good sign? Does this mean that talks are going well? What do you think?
Here's what I think happened. He won a lot of money, and I think there's like 50 currently paid wrestlers on the staff, including, I guess, talents, if you want to call them, including announcers and everything. I find it weird that they can't make room to pay the one guy who's been there since day one and does not want to leave, and he could be arguably known as the Sting of TNA. I mean, of that organization, which is, you know, sad to say, but the thing is, he doesn't have many years left in him. He may have maybe 5 years. 5 years, I think, is the money time for him. After that, he can't wrestle that style anymore. He has to almost have his style dumbed down. So, you know, it's also weird that it was a three-month deal only till December. Insert when will TNA close? I mean, that's the best way to put it.
Well, no. I highly disagree. I want to throw this out there, though. I think I'm going to go on record and say I think AJ Styles is my favorite wrestler of all time.
What?
I like, no joke. I think if I did a top five, I'm throwing this out there. But AJ Styles, to me, has, don't get me wrong, he's not great on the mic. He isn't, which is fine. But his wrestling ability and the way he can connect with fans is just phenomenal. You know, mind the pun. He is, I would probably say, my absolute favorite wrestler.
I can't believe you're throwing Kurt Angle under the bus.
I love Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle wouldn't make my top five, though. I would say, to me, I would probably have AJ Styles number one. This sounds weird. I might have someone like Chris Jericho number two, though.
No, I agree with
that. Of all time. But this, of course, my favorite. But Andy, that's enough about me. Let's talk about WWE programming this week. So we this is a really big thing, so I'm going to just kind of throw it out there and see what you think. WWE has been having, you know, their feud with Randy Orton and the corporation. And I don't think they've even said what the real name is versus Daniel Bryan. And there's been some other people that have been involved in the storyline now, which include Big Show, Dolph Ziggler, The Miz, and most recently Cody Rhodes. So I got to ask you, with the little mini storylines they're doing with those four individuals against the corporation, do you think that they're looking to elevate them to another level and make all of them stars?
I think they're going to try to, but Randy Orton is the – I mean, you have Triple H and Randy Orton as the focus. And then you have Stephanie that is just there. That's what I think they're going for. I think they're just trying to make themselves big. But the only person – you're not going to make the Shield any bigger. You're going to end up just making Triple H and Randy Orton big, but they already kind of were big.
So what about the people they're going against? Do you think that they're going to
– Okay, I think that The Miz is going to turn. I just – Miz is a better heel. I've always felt that if – you know, that's the one thing I feel that they've done wrong with The Miz. He's a heel. I wouldn't be surprised if he turns. Now, Rhodes, I think they finally realized that he needs to come up. Because him and DBS, I mean, the fact that Ted left, I mean, he left wrestling, and even though he's doing indie stuff, but he left wrestling, and Cody could do the same thing realistically. Ted actually had something to bring to the table, and so did Cody, but Cody getting married, fire him. Okay, great. You elevate him a little bit more, because then you throw out the fact that he needs to provide for his family, and the fact that he brought up the fact that the one thing that the Rhodes family couldn't stand was that the first two Rhodes, they put him in a polka dot, not a onesie, but a singlet. And then the second one, gold dust. I thought the fact that he brought that up was really interesting. So he has the hate as well. Same thing with the Big Show. Big Show has the hate. Miz doesn't really have the hate. But Ziggler, he can say the same thing, but he's also losing cleanly on superstars of all things. On superstars, he's losing cleanly. Okay. To me, that says that they're just dumb. They're beating them down. So when they do rise, that they're going to be even bigger. The problem is that they're going to have to do this until probably Royal Rumble or even Survivor Series. Well, this could be Survivor Series, though.
Survivor Series, yes.
Which is interesting because they haven't built up Survivor Series in ages.
And let me book this. I'm going to book it real quick. Here's what you do for Survivor Series. You have Big Show, Ziggler, Rhodes, Miz, Daniel Bryan versus The Shield, Randy Orton, and you know whomever else, Triple H, let's say, is in there. And it gets down to like Miz and Daniel Bryan versus Randy Orton, okay? And then what ends up happening is Daniel Bryan goes for the hot tag on Miz, and Miz jumps off the apron, and he leaves. And so Triple H or Randy Orton, whomever it is, goes ahead and beats down Daniel Bryan. And I think by doing that, because you brought up something interesting, because I agree with you about the Miz thing. Miz turning heel would actually elevate his character above the mid-card status he's currently at, taking on Fandango. He would then be an upper mid-carder, closer to the main event level. And then he can come out and cut promos about how I didn't get anywhere with, you know, being the good guy, so I had to, you know, go with the corporation in order to get anywhere in the WWE, that type of thing, you know? I think that would be a good route to go, so I actually agree with you there. But I do think that Rhodes is going to be made into a superstar with this. Big Show, you know, he actually showed a lot of emotion this past Monday, and I got to give it to him, you know, that the storyline they're running with him throughout this whole thing is actually really good, and it's probably the best that he's been in years. Take away the ironclad contract that they're throwing out there, which is so stupid because an ironclad contract means you can do whatever you want and get in trouble.
And here's something also. I remember him saying something about, if I want to sit around and do nothing, I can. Like, yeah, I remember him saying stuff like that where you're like, okay, oh, and now they're going back on what he said. Oh, come on.
Exactly.
You know, that's one thing that I find really, really weird. But, you know, this whole storyline, I'm just saying what you just said right now, we're thinking alike. And I believe that's what's going to happen. Miz and Orton as the big guys, the big dogs. And then him and Miz will be kind of hanging out more together. Because I'm sorry, but the Miz always wearing a suit, that's, to me, that's a heel type thing. And I do dig it. So I'll give him And the one thing also I find, I will say that I think they may screw this over. I would not be surprised if they turn Cody Rhodes heel again.
I don't think so. Him and Sandow, you know, they have such heat against each other. And I think Rhodes getting fired, I do not see him turning heel. I think if they did, it would be a huge, huge mistake, Andy. I really do.
Well, I think it is, but like, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. The Miz makes the more sense. Ziggler, no, everyone likes him. So anyway, so Daniel Bryan gets beaten up even more. I mean, at what point do you just say enough's enough? You guys need to do something about this.
He's getting beat up on Raw. He's getting beat up on SmackDown last week, this week, the week before, next week. You know, it's I don't want to say he's getting tired, but, you know, you like to have a little bit of back and forth. And right now it's been pretty much 100% Orton over Daniel Bryan or Shield, you know, the corporation. I'm in agreement with you. But what do you think? Let's say this week Daniel Bryan gets the upper hand and he takes down Orton or he takes down the Shield. Will that make you feel better?
No. I think it would be interesting if he beat I want to call him Moxley.
Dean Ambrose.
Thank you, Dean Ambrose. If for some reason Daniel Bryan beat Dean Ambrose for the U.S. title, and what I wish they would do is throw out the stip then, saying, by the way.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
That would be awesome if they did. But yeah, so I think if he beat him for the title, that would mean something. And I think maybe that title would actually come into play a little bit more, and maybe Bryan would get beaten up, but he'd always retain, and then finally somehow he'd drop it. That, you know, that's one thing, but you know, at some point you got to stop this.
I don't think that will happen. But
one thing I was really interesting is that Punk and Ham are going to fight. But I want to bring something up. This is going to go back 5 years, okay? If it, 5 years ago I told you that CM Punk and Daniel Bryan were going to be the top baby faces in 2013, what would you say?
Well, what do you think I would say?
No way.
Yeah.
No way. That'll never, ever happen. And guess what? It didn't. You know, the other baby face in the company right now, Punk versus Heyman, they're going to fight. I'm wondering how this is going to play out, because something's going to happen where it's going to end bad for CM Punk.
Do you think Punk is going to get his hands on Paul Heyman?
I think he will, but it's not going to be anything major.
What did you think of Punk this week coming out and saying, being a spokesman pretty much, and saying, buy the pay-per-view, please. If you want to see a fight, you should buy the pay-per-view. What did you think of that?
I thought that it was interesting because, you know, he's saying, if you're going to buy the pay-per-view, buy this one. Even though that TNA has a pay-per-view running against SmackDown on Friday, you don't want to waste your $15 on that. But you should definitely get the pay-per-view that's on the, if I'm correct, it's the 22nd Night of Champions. And I thought he did a great job, by the way. I thought that was really interesting that he was able to promote the pay-per-view, but also make it seem like you want to see, you're hoping that he's going to beat the crap out of Heyman. Like, to me, I was more excited about the pay-per-view just on that promo than anything else that happened in the match. I could care less about the corporation at this point. I cared about the fact that, wow, he made it interesting. Huh. I wouldn't mind getting this pay-per-view now. That's how I took it.
Interesting. I got to say, I thought it was a interesting promo. I felt it was a little too – I think most people will be like, yeah, it was pretty good. But I kind of felt it was a little pushy. And I might be the only one that thinks that, and that's fine. But to have him be like, if you want to see a fight, you need to get this pay-per-view. You should get it. It doesn't do it for me. That does not make me want to get the pay-per-view. What makes me want to get the pay-per-view is actually the storyline going on between Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. That makes me want to get the pay-per-view. So, but Andy, we could talk about that.
But one thing also I want to bring up that is just, this is more of a general question. All right, so you know how, like, in the Hall of Fame for the WWE, they just put random people in, Drew Carey. You know, it's just one of those weird things. Do you think that they should allow Dr. James Andrews into the Hall of Fame because he's done all the surgeries for the WWE?
At this point in time, you might as well.
That's what I was hoping you'd say. So let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use special coupon code OFFTHEMARK and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what are you going to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off The Mark page. You're going to save a banner for WWEShop.com. Whatever it says, just use that code and make sure you click on that banner. You're going to save some money if you buy some merch from WWEShop.com. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So just to let you know, TNA did something right this week. They have been promoting for the last 2 weeks the Knockouts pay-per-view that they have tonight. On Friday night, they actually have the pay-per-view. And they're promoting it for 2 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not just one spot, but it was like three spots. I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah. But I have no interest in a women's
wrestling. I know you don't have any interest,
though.
But just to let you guys know, if you have DirecTV, it's back on it for the time being. So AJ wins the gauntlet match. I mean, come on. He just re-signed. He's going to win. You could tell by the promo that he was going to win this match. So who's he taking on next week, Aaron?
So next week, he got to choose his opponent, and he said he's taking on A-Double. And if you remember, they had a match a few weeks back, which I know that you didn't really care for. I thought it was a good match. But the ending, the finish to it was so stupid. It was one of the worst finishes I have seen in a long time. And A-Double got the victory by putting his arm over, you know, it was stupid. It was really dumb. Predictably, more than likely, I'm going to throw this out there. I know that next week when we record, I unfortunately will not be able to do the TNA stuff. So I'm going to just do a prediction right now when you and Doug are talking about it. But I'm going to say that AJ wins. And then also Robert Roode is taking on Magnus, and I believe that Robert Roode will win. So that way it's going to be AJ versus Robert Roode to see who will be the man to take on Bully Ray.
All right. Wait, is that how Bound for Glory works? It's supposed to be the Final Four. They do the Round Robin tournament?
Well, it's not Round Robin.
It's not now.
Well, yeah. But no, when it comes down to the Final Four, the top guy gets to pick who he wants to face. And then obviously the other two take on each other. And then after that, it's whoever wins. They take each other on. And then they go to Bound for Glory.
Do you think that final match will happen at No Surrender then?
Well, No Surrender is next week.
Oh, gosh. I thought it was in 2 weeks. My bad. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Those are going to be some great matches. I'm looking forward to, you know, AJ Styles taking on Austin Aries. I think it's going to be a really good match. And then also Robert Roode versus Magnus, which, you know, it's kind of sad not to see Magnus, you know, at this the last TV taping, which, you know, he's back. He got taken care of with his visa, so he'll be back for a little bit. So Sting beats Bully Ray, but in a non-title matchup. Now, I thought that Sting had a stipulation where he couldn't wrestle for the heavyweight championships anymore.
Yes, that's why it was a non-title match. Oh. But remember last week when Hogan said that he was taking him on for the title, obviously erroneously, and then this week Sting takes him on not for the title. But I got to ask you, Andy, what was the point of this match? So Sting wins. It doesn't really help him out a whole lot. I mean, I guess you can talk main event mafia, the head of the main event mafia versus the head of the Aces and Eights. You could go down that path. But other than that, was there a big point to this win, do you think?
You're kind of beating Bully down to make him rise back. That's all I got on that.
I don't think he's going to rise back up, though.
That's what I don't understand. I question a lot of booking, like especially this. What is the point? He can't wrestle for the title. Some things just don't make sense, like ironclad contract and not being able to wrestle for the title. But I guess if you're shutting down, that could be the problem. But anyway, so Bully is taking on Anderson next week, which is surprising because you have the president versus the VP. Interesting match for Aces and Eights. And this actually could make Anderson look bigger and maybe get a little cocky and break away. Because right now, it just seems like it's Bully Ray and Ortiz together. Do you think there's a possibility that they could just, the three, Anderson, oh, actually the four, Anderson, Knox, Briscoe and Bischoff all go on their separate faction, and then Bully just goes back with Devon.
Well, Devon's not there anymore, Andy, remember?
Well, yeah, but come on. He leaves TNA forever.
I don't know what they're going to do. I really hope that this breaks up Aces and Eights, because I think the storyline has run its course, and I think you need to get rid of the factions, because it's kind of boring. It really is, and you really need to get rid of it. But I want to, because TNA's got, they're going to be around for a long time, plain and simple, you know? And so you have to have long-term booking ready to go, because if you don't, then you're going to look like WWE with their ironclad contracts. So,
and that's why Hogan and Bischoff need to leave TNA and put someone else in there that knows what they're doing.
Well, I think that they, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we could talk about that TNA could do to get much better. And so it's not that it's like saying that the problem with WWE is Triple H, you know, that's obviously not the case.
No, I don't think that's the case anymore.
No, there's a lot of things that, you know, WWE needs to change. But speaking of that, Andy, for our weekly topic, I thought it'd be kind of fun to just have a roundtable discussion about WWE and do they need competition in order to be better? Do they need competition in general? What do you say?
Okay, here's my thinking about competition. Does competition make the product better? Yes, it makes you think outside the box and make you and you can surprise people. But the thing is, I think that TNA is going at it wrong against the WWE. The WWE doesn't really need competition because it's like, you know, it keeps going around and around and around. People still go because it's wrestling, but you want to get certain people who aren't regularly fans to go at least to one show. And if they buy a program, it's not that they're hooked, but they just made, you know, money off that fan. And then if you say like every 25 fans will spend at least $10 that would never spend any money, you know, at going to, you know, like their show anyways, they got their ticket and then they got the program. That program, if it's $10, it probably cost them like 25 cents to print it. So they just made almost $10 off you plus the ticket admission. It's a wheel, you know, it keeps going around. If you bring competition in it, that wheel keeps turning, but then it kind of, instead of going, you know, vertical, it could go to horizontal, I guess the best way you can explain it. But
wait, what?
Yeah, never mind. I was trying to use a good analogy there, but I messed it up.
Well, so here's my question. So it sounds like you said that they don't need competition.
I don't think they need, no, they don't need competition. And that's what, and that's a, I think the problem with when you look at TNA, because they're trying to compete. But then you look at Ring of Honor, ROH, they're not trying to compete. They're just trying to offer you an alternative product. That's why TNA, I believe they went to the six-sided ring. I think that it would make people like, wow, that's kind of weird. I kind of want to watch that. That's why I wish they would go back to it. But of course, they never will because they're trying to compete with WWE. WWE, they don't need it. And when Rob Van Dam is gone for 5 years and they're like, hey, where were you? That says something, especially to the casual WWE fan. Hardcore fans knew where he was.
Yeah, but I think you got to realize that TNA is a national promotion, and you know they're not a global promotion like WWE. And WWE is right. A name. It's like Coca-Cola. Think of it that way. Like, I think, you know, I have a good analogy. So WWE is Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Everybody loves Coca-Cola, you know. But you have some people that are Pepsi fans, right?
Right.
And those, you know, maybe like you think of it like WCW in a way. And TNA, I would say, is RC Cola, all right? and you know, RC Cola isn't that well-liked, but it's not bad.
And then Ring of Honor is Jolt.
No, Ring of Honor is not Jolt. Ring of Honor is like Shasta or something, all right? But here's the thing.
Fago?
It's Tab, you know, from 1980s.
Oh, my Crystal gosh. Pepsi.
We're going to just talk about soft drinks instead of wrestling is what we're going to do.
So what you're saying is that Coke bought Pepsi.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Coke bought Pepsi, and now it's the same. And now all you have left is RC Cola. I think that WWE needs some more competition because otherwise they're going to get arrogant. And I think that when you look back on 2002, it was such a dark time for wrestling. You know, after the invasion angle had run its course, you were left with the NWO thing that they had going on that didn't last long. you know, and then they brought in Goldberg a little bit later. You know, there just wasn't a whole lot going on, unfortunately, for wrestling during that time. Nothing that was super memorable. And I think it's because in the 90s, you had that competition where, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of dumb stuff in WCW. There was even worse stuff in WWF at the time. And people don't remember that. They just think, oh, Attitude Era, that's where Stone Cold was. Yeah, and you know, there was a lot of other stuff that happened during that time, too, that was really, really bad.
But like Doink and Dink?
Yeah, well, more stuff than that. But that's not the point. The point is that if you don't have that competition there, then you're not going to keep the other people honest. If you're a football team and all you do is run the ball, then – The defense is just going to put eight men in the box, and they're just going to expect you to run the ball. But if you're going to pass too, then you have to keep the defense honest, and then those defenders go back. And I think WWE, I think that they're a little arrogant at this point in time. And I want TNA to succeed, because otherwise, and WWE right now is actually it's really great. I actually like WWE at this point in time. I think TNA is actually down, WWE's up. But I think that you need some TNA influence there to make WWE a better product.
Well, yeah, I mean, you do, but I think that you also need to have an alternative wrestling as well. You need to have, okay, this is the mainstream wrestling, but we want to show you how indie wrestling is or was on Ring of Honor. So, okay, so Ring of Honor does that, but TNA tries to mimic WWE stuff. I think them doing that, it's just, to me, it's almost the same. You can almost say that TNA is the Reddit stepchild of the WWE, if you want to say it in that aspect. Because realistically, they're putting out the same product, but WWE is a global brand, and TNA is just, you know, they're in, I think, like 20 markets now outside the United States. Okay, WWE is, I think, every single market now. I think they hit the final one recently, or at least 90% of them. And TNA is maybe in 20% of them.
I hear what you're saying.
You know,
I hear
what you're saying. And see, and that's why I look at Ring of Honor, and they're just doing like small things. Like there's a local station here that they run the show, and they said that every time they run that show, it's paying the bills and then a little bit more. And that, and when you think about that, that's, and then the next three shows, because they tape four at a time, they're all profit for them, so they're happy with that. And Ring of Honor realizes their position. They're like, this is what we're going to do. The one thing I thought was interesting is that they brought the IWGP Junior Weight Champion is actually going to defend the title on Ring of Honor, which is actually a big deal, at least in my eyes.
I agree with you.
Which is cool, but see, they're giving you an alternative opposed to WWE, who is, this is what they're doing, and then everyone copies it. Ring of Honor staying away from that. And because of that, they're not competing, but they are. And I would almost say that right now, Ring of Honor is a bigger threat than TNA is, because TNA is just keeps going down and down.
Oh, no, 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 no. TNA is actually on TV. Now,
so is Ring of Honor.
Have to,
in a lot of every
idiot, I live in Seattle, and I don't
Sinclair,
get Ring of Honor.
But Sinclair does not have any stations out there, though. Sinclair has lots of stuff in the Midwest and the East Coast. Ring of Honor is everywhere.
Yeah, so it's an East Coast promotion.
But if Sinclair starts buying up more stations, especially if you go West Coast, they're going to be out there, and you're going to be able to watch actually an okay TV show. It's different from WWE. It's completely,
and that's fine. But so my question, I have to ask you this question before we end this. So what I'm getting from you is you're saying that TNA is, you know, it's kind of the RC Cola. But you're saying it should try to be more like Jolt Cola in the way ECW was an alternative to WWE.
Basically.
Okay.
That's the best way that's the best analogy you can use is actually that. So, and you know, and like I said, dude, I don't want TNA to fail, but when you see writing on the wall and you see ECW stuff happening, you start questioning stuff.
I think that stuff is blown out of proportion.
Okay, when the president of the company, who shows to all the tapings and then decides, hey, I'm going to go to a football game because I don't want...
That's blown out of proportion. Out of proportion. ECW didn't have a home. That is why they failed.
Right.
ECW was on TNN, and then TNN got rid of them. TNN got rid of ECW. It never promoted them. The only thing that's different The thing that's different about Spike TV is that, which was TNN, of course, at the time, kind of funny, but Spike TV, they don't promote TNA, and they need to. But you know what? They are not going to get rid of TNA anytime soon. They aren't. And right. So I think that's the big thing. TNA has a home. They're making money. I think that TNA is going to be around for a long time. So unless WWE buys them up.
Which wouldn't surprise me. So WWE just doesn't need the competition anymore. They don't. So that's all time we... What?
I said, but I think that they do.
I wish they did, but realistically they don't. Because it's a wheel. Just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. Just like Undertaker's old theme song. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AllThemarkKTX. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.